And he dug it out, and he listened to the man of God in his life. He stayed close to the Lord. And God, little by little, time after that, God began to anoint him. Bless him. It lets us to know that, listen, brother, just be faithful to God. Just be faithful to God. Here's the thing. As much as he is an everyman, and we could use that term, he's similar to us in so many ways, and that we're just regular men. Here's how Brother Embry operates. He'll get up here in the pulpit, and he'll be very cultural, and he'll be very relevant in his speech to you today, and you'll feel very comfortable. But don't get too comfortable, because somewhere along his message, he's going to drop a bomb on your head. And you're going to sit back and you're going to say, man, I did not see that coming. So you all need to pay attention. This man's going to preach an anointed word of God. I love Brother Henry. I respect him greatly. He is a great man of God. As he's coming, why don't we stand to our feet one more time? Let's give God some glory. Let's praise and magnify the Lord.
I need a little help starting out for you. Just give me a little help warming up. I can catch on fire all by myself. Amen. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8. I will therefore that men everywhere, lifting up holy hands, men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. And I want to talk to you on this subject. Men of influence. Is that okay? Men of influence. Amen. I don't know how to assimilate your silence. Those people are like, oh, Lord. So, be seated. I shall praise the Lord. I see all my men from Merced here. So glad they could come. Listen, no matter who you are, where you're from, no matter what your background, you have influence. You may not be a preacher, you may not be a teacher, you may not be a service leader, you may not be an evangelist or pastor, but you have influence anyway. You may not know you have influence, but I come to tell you today that it's important for me and important for you to realize that you are a man of influence. There are people in your local assembly that watch you every time you come to church. And you are having an impact, and you are having influence in their life. And you need to realize that because you are a man of influence, that it is of a necessity that you carry your way in such a manner as those that you influence are influenced toward the power and the praise and the worship of Almighty God. All of us are here today because we have been influenced by somebody. All of us sit in these pews today with our nice clothes on because some man or man of God or some preacher or some pastor or some evangelist had an impact in our life. And we chose to say, I want to be like that. And I come this morning to say that you are the next generation of influential apostolic men. I wish somebody hear me early on. You are not the generation somewhere else. You're the generation of right now. You cannot wait till next year to start living for God. You got to start living for God right now. You can't wait till something happened in the nebulous spirit world to begin your worship, to begin your walk, to begin your obedience, to begin to do what you know God wants you. I'm telling you right now, you are having influence and impact in somebody in your local assembly. Amen. They are either watching you worship or watching you not worship. They're either watching you pray or watching you not pray. They're either watching you lift your hands or put them in your pocket. Who are you having influence on today? What we need in the Western District are men who will influence men to the power of God. Sometimes it's only a moment that somebody catches a glimpse of you that might impact their lives forever. Sometimes just watching you walk through a trial. Watching how you behave yourself in the midst of adversity. Watch how you move when all things are gone bad. To watch your attitude and to see how you transverse through the things that God is putting you through has a lasting impact on some young man that's simply watching you walk with God. I wish somebody helped me preach today. One of the lasting memories that is indelibly imprinted on my mind is an old man by the name of Bill Yandris. I always knew at 6 o'clock in the morning that that old man would be in a church somewhere on his knees. Oh, you're not going to help me preach. Crying out. That made an impression. He was a man of influence. Paul said, you better mark the perfect man. The word perfect doesn't mean the man without flaws. It doesn't mean the man without mistakes. It just means the mature man. The man that's got his head together. The man that says, I don't care what comes my way. I'm just taking one step at a time. I'll tell you what we don't need. We don't need waffling men. That's up one. Help me, Holy Ghost. We don't need waffling men that's on fire one day and can't fire you another day. On fire one day and in the ice box. No, we just need men that walk with God steadily one day at a time. How's it going? It's not going well, but it's all well with my soul. Things are not good. Situations are not good. Circumstances are not good. But God, He is still good. Turn to your neighbor, slap them high five, and say, you are a man of influence. Somebody shout unto the Lord. You are a man of influence. Your influence. Oh, come on, somebody. I want to make sure that I'm influencing young men. I want them to see somebody say, oh, it's going to be all right. Everything's going to be fine. Just keep your eyes on the Lord. Don't waffle. Don't baffle. Don't put one foot in the world and one foot in the church. Get in the church with all of your heart, all of your soul, all of your mind. You are a man of influence. Don't think that you are. Know that you are. Again, don't think that you are. Know that you are. Hell will try to convince you that my life is insignificant. Nobody's really paying any attention to me. I can hide in the crowd. Doesn't matter if you go to MRC and there's 1,800 people, you think you can hide in the crowd. You can't hide in the crowd. There's some little 5-year-old guy watching you. There's a 12-year-old young man looking for a role model. And we don't want them to find their role model in the Snoop Doggy Dog. You need to be in the house of God dropping it like it's hot. Somebody ought to shout, yeah. We don't need our young men patterning their lives after rappers, dope dealers, pimps, and hustlers. We want them to pattern their lives after one God, Jesus' name, apostolic, Holy Ghost filled. Of influence. On Sunday night, I made it my deal to get off the platform and to get into the altar and just worship. Put my groove thing on. Get my... Why do you do that, Pastor? Because I want those young babies to know. I want them to see if my pastor can worship. If my pastor can dance. Ain't nothing wrong with me worshiping. I got little Micaiah Davis. He gets his groove on. I got Brother Means. His young son is out there. I'm telling you, you are a man of influence. And if you sit on that pew, your brother gonna sit on the pew. Your son gonna sit on the pew. But if you get up and worship, they will worship with you. Influence is impossible to define. It cannot be calculated by math. It cannot be deducted by logic. It cannot be defined by a demonstration of abstract truth. There's no system. There's no code. It is not like the germination of a seed. It is a mysterious effect, a real, a subtle power. It is something that happens when you don't even know it's happening. You were born with influence. Yes, you were. You were born with it. It's in you right now. You don't see, we walk through life not even understand how many lives we impact. We don't understand how many lives we affect. In a moment, just casually walking by. And all of a sudden, now I'm not mystic, but every man in here has presence. Now in the East, they call it chi. I don't know about no chi. The mystics call it aura. I don't know about the Orient. But I do know that we have presence. When you walk into, if you're a Holy Ghost filled man, when you walk into a room, you have presence. Y'all don't believe this? I believe this. I don't care if it's Walmart. I'll tell you what, the next time you walk into Walmart's, you watch what people do. You'll walk in and everybody will look at you. They know something. They'll be like, whoa, 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 whoa. Something from somewhere else has just walked into this room. When you got the Holy Ghost, don't you know when you go to Walmart? Presence. That's why you ought to have a smile on your face. Instead of going to Walmart, look like you're mad at the world. Smile. How you doing? Praise the Lord. God is good. Oh, I know you don't believe that kind of stuff. I was at a check stand and they said, I'm not doing well, but God is good anyway. And she perked up, she goes like, ooh, I like that. I said, I know you do, girl. Why? Because I want to make an impression. I want them to know that everything in your world might not be good, but God ain't in your world. He's from another world. I wish somebody hear what I'm saying. You need to get it in your mind. I am a man of influence, and I'm going to start influencing in the right direction. I'm going to pay my tithing. I'm going to worship the Lord. I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to be committed to. I'm not going to stay at home and watch my wife go to church. I know I was going to hit a stump. One moment. When you hear the stuff, you got to get a chainsaw. I'm not going to let my wife pray more than me. I'm not going to let my wife worship more than me. Oh, no, 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 no. Oh, no, 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 no. If my wife is praying, I stay down 2 seconds longer just so she don't outpray me. If she shouts, I shout 2 seconds longer. I want the Lord to know this is the day that the Lord had made, and I will rejoice and be glad. Why? Because I am a man of influence. I know it's invisible. I know it's intangible. But it is inevitable that you will influence somebody while you live for God.
Amen.
You cannot live, and you will not die, without influencing someone that you have crossed paths with. The question is, shall we influence them for good, or shall we influence them for evil? I shudder to think, before I came to the Lord, how many people I influenced for evil. Watching my life, thinking that I was really cool, doing my thing, rolling hard, living large, slinging, banging, balling. Huh? A little bit of this and a little bit of that, ducking, dodging, weaving. JB, you know what I'm talking about. Getting high, doing all this stuff. I shudder. My heart skips a beat at times when I think, how many people did I influence for the enemy to snatch their life? So I'm making up my mind. I don't know how many I influenced for evil, but I'm going to do my very best to outdo myself. I don't have a number. I just want to influence every man in here. You can live for God. I want to influence every man in here. You are great already. Quit thinking you're not. Know that you are. Know that you are. Peter tells us that, Paul tells us that he was his desire, therefore, that men pray everywhere. In other words, he's saying, I desire that everywhere you go, you maintain an attitude of prayer and worship. Not that you walk around all the time, some have been lying, some have been lying. No, 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 no. He's... He's saying that keep your mind and your heart, your spirit and your emotions encased within the knowledge of God. And stay on a track where you're always close enough to access God when you need Him. In other words, don't let your human spirit get so far away from you that you are tempted above that which you are able to handle. Stay close within the spirit of prayer, so that if something, you know, if Lucy Honeycup come by, throwing a 95 mile an hour ball, fastball, and you know Lucy. Don't act like you don't act like you ain't seen her in the mall. throwing curves. Bam. Baby go like, Lucy, girl, come on now. And if a curveball is like that, you don't want to see her fastball. Oh, you forgot, I'm the real man. There's always a honey cup throwing a fastball. But if I'm close enough to Jesus, I said, okay now, Jesus, you're going to have to help me here. Because I can feel the old man going, hey, 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 girl. Look at here. Look at like a, uh-huh. And you know how men are. Yeah, we look at girls like we look at cars. Yeah, we check out the headlights. And then we check out the taillights. This is a man's conference. You know, we like our women like we like our chicken. Breasts, thighs, and legs. Oh, you might as well be real. You might as well come on and let, oh, okay. Don't play with me, man. I've been a human for 56 years. Don't play with me. I've got to stay close enough to Jesus that when LaQuisha, LaWanda, whoever she is, come my way, I've got enough strength to say, no, 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 Emery. Somebody's watching you. You ain't... You're about to influence somebody. He says, so I want you to keep yourself in the mind of prayer. Then he says, and lifting up holy hands. Now listen. Now, this is a custom of the East. The lifting up of hands. David said that let my prayer be unto thee as incense, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. Psalms 141. The evening sacrifice, or the lifting up of the hands, is because he was running from Absalom, and he was far away from the house of worship. He was running with Cushai cussing him and throwing dust in the air. He's standing in the cave and he turns himself toward the temple. He says, I can't, or toward the tabernacle. And he says, I can't be there, but let my prayer be unto thee as the priest that swing the incense in the presence of the Lord. And I don't have a lamb, and I don't have a ram, and I don't have anything, but let the lifting up of my hand be like an oblation of worship. Brother Johnson, the evening sacrifice was not a sacrifice of sin. The evening sacrifice was not a burnt offering for transgressions. The evening sacrifice was an oblation. It was to let God know how good he was. It was a sacrifice of personal devotion. And David said, even though I'm on the run for my life, I want to let you know, God, that I still think you're good in my life. Those that watched him were influenced by his worship. When he called Saul in the cave and God put a deep sleep and his enemy was for him, David understood, somebody's watching me. And Joab the Doggy, I know Joab was, man, Joab was a straight up thug, dog. Joab was kissing a guy on the cheek and shaking him. I mean, that's a thug, bro. He was cold-blooded. Walked into a guy like he was his buddy, kissing him on the cheek and shanked him right there. You have to watch the Joabs in your life. They will influence you in the wrong direction. David said, put it away. He said, you know, he said, the Joabs in your life will cause you to doubt God's providential spirit. It could be.
that the Lord has delivered your enemy in your hand. David looked at him. He says, I said, don't touch him. But look, you're running. He said, I said, don't touch him. Because David said, I will not stretch forth my hand against the Lord's anointed.
Can I preach a little bit here? There may be some times your pastor does things that you don't understand, but don't stretch forth your hand against. I'm talking to men of influence. Be careful not to stretch forth your hand against the Lord's anointing. You let God take care of his man, and you take care of him. I'm not going to go further down this road. But let me just let you know this. If somebody came to the Emery's household and they had something to say about Bishop Neandris, it was like, do not let one more word come out between your teeth in my home. Because I will not let your curse come into a house that's already blessed. In this house, we don't talk about the man of God. In this house. Why are you saying that? Because we're men. And we have the ability to be contentious. And we have the ability to strive. And we get angry. Oh, you're not going to help me preach now. I'm preaching now. Listen, I preached all of that to get here. Because they lift up those hands without wrath or doubting. See, when you're dealing with men, we're all alpha males. My wife says, like, why do you scratch like that? Says a man's thing, girl. You don't understand. You know, as we open the refrigerator. Twenty minutes later. Like something else gonna be there before. We're alpha males. We scratch, we make man noises. I've got to go to the doctor to have a sleep test. And I found out they're going to be videoing me while I'm sleeping. And I'm thinking, you might not want to do that. So I told my wife, I want you to make me a big pot of beans for the holy. Because I'm going to give them a show, baby. It's going to be light show, gas show. I'm going to be all over the place, man. I will be opening up in Vegas next week, all right? Paul knew the contentious nature of the alpha male. He knew that we strive when we don't understand God's hierarchy. In your home, you're the priest. But in the house of God, your pastor's the head. Now, I don't make it a point to go in my men's home. I let them take care of their home. But when you're coming up in my house, in the house of God, I said, like, look here, dog. You the man over there, I'm the man over here. So when you go in the house of God, your position is one of submission. I knew it was going to get hard. I'm talking about being a man of influence still. Still talking about it. Because somebody is watching how you negotiate
through things that you don't understand or things you don't agree with. And they're watching how you deal with it. And you are influencing people. And if you deal with it from a position of submission, then you're teaching some young man how to negotiate.
Right.
But if you're dealing with it from a position of strife or contention, then you are bringing wrath. And doubting. Why? Watch why. Here's why. Because as an alpha male, you have not the ability to do both. You can't submit and rebel at the same time.
Right.
And so when I try to go to God to prayer in an attitude of contention, my hands are dirty. Because holy hands means the whole man clean. It's not talking about these hands. It's talking about the whole man. It's in alignment with God. I'm just about done, all right? Just about done. So John helps us, and John says this. Listen, he says, "For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart. Beloved, if our heart condemns us not, watch. If I'm in alignment with God, then I have confidence toward God." Are you with me? All right. "And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him." Why? Because we keep his commandments and do those things that are well pleasing. Because when I stop pleasing God, it brings doubt, fear, and unbelief. And my hands are not lifted up. They hang down. Because I know I'm out of alignment with God. Is this all right? I don't know. And at that point, you become very influential. Because you cannot have a spirit like that and somebody close to you not connect with your presence. Understanding there are other alpha males in there. And when they feel your presence, your spirit, they join themselves unto you and you become a Joab. Now, you might not have a javelin in your hand, but you do have a tongue in your mouth. You got to watch both of those. So what do I do, Brother Emery? Well, you stay on the side of submission. Well, I don't know why the pastor... Well, you know what? Don't worry about it. You just keep praying. Just keep worshiping. God knows what he's doing. You have just saved a brother and covered a multitude of sins. What are we going to do? What are we going to do, Elder Hunt? I don't know what's going on. We're going to get in the prayer room. We're going to let God sort it all out. Well, I tell you what we're not going to do. We're not going to put our tongue on the man of God. We're going to get an altar of God, keep my spirit pure. Keep my hands clean. Because when I want to lift up my hands, I want to touch God. I want to hear from God. I want to get an answer from God. I want to stay in the attitude and the mindset of prayer so that when I need something from God, he is accessible to me. Let me wrap this up. Come on, clap your hands. I know this is hard stuff. The word influence is from the Latin word that means inflow. Stuff that flows into you that influences you from the inside out. Other A king in the days of Isaiah, the prince of prophets who prophesied in the courts of kings. I'm just about done. Hope I haven't taken too long. Also was a good king, actually. He did those things which was right in the sight of the Lord. But the Bible said that when he became strong, he was lifted up in himself. You have to be careful about the spirit of pride. For pride cometh before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Now me, I'm very proud. I have to watch it. You just say, I know me. If you don't know yourself, you're in danger already. I know I am prone to pride. I know I am prone to arrogance. I know I am prone to that, so I watch it. I watch it. The times that I messed up really bad when I was trying to prove something that I didn't need to prove. The Bible says God resisteth the proud but giveth what? Grace to the humble. And you've got to understand that humility will get you a lot further than pride will. Pride is the great destroyer of men, marriages, and ministries. God resists the proud. Humility is the friend of faith, the path of power, and the granter of mercy. It is the granter of grace, and humility is the merchant of mercy. When I am humble in the presence of the Lord, he says, I dwell with him that is of a contrite spirit and a broken heart. So Uzzah lifted up himself and he went into the temple and began to do incense, and the priest came in and got him, and he got mad at the priest for doing their job. And when he got mad at the priest, because see, he's out of his alignment, king over here, priest over there, he's doing something he's not supposed to do, and so then leprosy causes to rise up on him. And they threw him out of the temple, and he was a leper to the day he died. He was barred from the temple. He could not go back into the house of the Lord because he was a leper. He didn't handle the situation right. He became bitter, angry, contentious. So when his son Jotham became king, the Bible said, though Jotham was a good man, Brother Hurst, he never entered into a temple. How are you influencing your son? Because you are influencing him. Does he watch you worship? Or does he watch you sit there? One end over the pew, legs crossed, ass crossed, heart crossed, just crossed up. And then when he gets 17, you're going to want him in the prayer room on fire. Huh? Don't you understand that's what Micah's problem was? She looked out a little courtyard, saw David dancing. Thought he was just like, what? You know, I saw you out there with Tanisha, all naked, running around, jumping up and down, like you all were just in the back of the chair. Because, like, what are you talking about, girl? She said, I'm dancing before the Lord. Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. I got you before the Lord. You know what Micah's problem was? Her problem was not David dancing. Her problem was she never seen Saul dance. Her problem was that David was a worshiper. Her problem was she never saw her daddy. Oh God. She never saw her daddy lift her hand. Does your baby girl ever hear you talk in tongues? Let me get done. Joseph never went into the house of the Lord. And the Bible said, and the people did corruptibly.
Jotham had a son named Ahaz. He was worse.
And the people followed after the ways of Balaam. But then, the conference says, you just can't keep a good man down.
Hezekiah sprang up. And Hezekiah said, I will not follow the ways of my great-granddaddy. I will not follow the ways of my granddaddy. And I won't follow the ways of my daddy. He began to repair the doors of the temple. He began to say, let me into the house of the Lord because I want to influence a generation. A generation of men that will worship God. I want to influence a generation of men that will go into the house of the Lord. I know what my daddy was. I know what my great granddaddy was. I know what my granddaddy was, but I will not be that. I will be a man of influence.
I want to influence men. So he dug it out. The priests began to sanctify themselves. He erected an altar. Sacrifices began. The glory of God began to fall on Israel. All it takes is one man to be a man of influence.
All it takes is one young man that said, my daddy never went to a prayer room, but I'm going. My daddy didn't shout, but I'm going to shout. My daddy was not a praiser, but I will be a praiser. I will be a worshiper because I want to be a man of influence. My daddy was an alcoholic, but I am an apostolic. I tell you, you don't have to be what your daddy was, and you don't have to be what your great granddaddy was, and you don't have to be what your Uncle Jaime was. You can be a man of God and have an influence. Somebody shout, yeah!
So Sunday morning when you go to church. Sunday morning when you go to church, when you put your suit on, I'm going to go up in there and I'm going to influence somebody. I'm tired of sitting on the sideline, coach, put me in the game. Put me in the game. So how do I get in the game, Pastor Emmy? Just get out of the mouths. If something happens, something happens in an apostolic church. When Amy began to praise the Lord.